Good morning. Second Peter 3, verse 10. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, the elements shall melt with fervent heat, and the earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. We began a lesson not too long ago with this same passage. According to 2 Peter 3:10, the earth one day will come to a surprising, sudden, catastrophic halt. The frightening issue, however, is not the way the earth is going to end, but what's going to happen after the end. What happens after this? Hebrews 9, verse 27, as it is appointed unto man once to die, but after this, the judgment. What happens after we die? What happens after we stand in judgment? Recently we discussed in a sermon why I do not want to go to hell. This morning we're going to discuss the other side of the equation. Why I want to go to heaven. We sang just now about Zion, lovely Zion. When shall I dwell in thee? That's a question all of us should be asking. And this morning, let us talk about why I, and hopefully you, want to go to heaven. Well, the first point should be obvious from the last sermon. Why do I want to go to heaven? Because I do not want to go to hell. Someone says, oh, you've already been through this now, preacher. You've already bent our ear on the horrors of hell. Right. But that's the reason I want to go to heaven, because I don't want to go to hell. That is the only other alternative to heaven, is a place called hell. In hell, as we talked about, I would be separated from God. I would face absolute torment. My stay would be eternal. I do not want to go to hell. Then the only other place to go of necessity is going to be to go to heaven. There's only two places to choose from. Some people seem to think as they go through this pilgrimage of life that, oh, I may not be good enough to go to heaven, but now, surely now, I'm not bad enough to go to hell, as if there is some intermediate place that they're looking towards, you know, for those people. Well, you might not make heaven, but you're surely not bad enough. No, there's only two choices. That's what Jesus was talking about in John 5, verse 28, beginning, marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice and come forth. They that have done good unto the resurrection of life, they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. I do not see Jesus pointing out any kind of third option within this. What he is saying, there's either going to be a resurrection of life or a resurrection of damnation. One resurrection, two eternal destinies that he is talking about. Paul said in Galatians 6, 7 and 8, be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Only two options there, corruption or life everlasting. That's the reason Jesus would say in Matthew 25, verse 46, he said, and these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. Friends, there are no other choices. Now, hell is terrible beyond description. Human language is strained when trying to describe the place the Bible shows us called hell. The best it can do is describe the suffering of the body. Descriptions like weeping and gnashing of teeth should raise the chills on an individual and cause one want to avoid such a place as hell. But in avoiding hell, you should be reaching towards heaven, because that's the only two options. I'm highly motivated to obey God simply because I am terrified of a place called hell. But that is not my only motivation for serving the Lord and preparing for His return. Additional to my desire to stay out of hell, I want to go to heaven also because of who will be there. I want to go to heaven to be in the presence of the Father. to be in the presence of the Son and the Holy Spirit. You remember in John 14, verses 2 and 3, Jesus said, "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." Where is Jesus? He has ascended to the Father. He has prepared us a place. And He says that He would come again, receive us unto Himself, that where He is, there we may be also. Jesus said the reward reserved for the faithful is in His Father's house. When we go to heaven, we will be in God's house, God's dwelling place. We will be there with the Father, with the Son, and with the Holy Spirit. Isn't that what John the Apostle saw in the apocalypse, in the Revelation? In Revelation 4 and 5, the Apostle John, in a vision, is given a peek into heaven. And there he saw the Father on the throne, chapter 4, verse 2. There he saw the Lamb, the Son of God, Christ, chapter 5, 5 and 6. He saw the Holy Spirit, chapter 4, verse 5. Someone says, well, that's figurative language. Well, true. True, it describes the Holy Spirit as having seven eyes. Is that literally a description? No, that is describing the all-seeing nature of the Holy Spirit. That Christ, is God literally sitting on a literal throne? No. These are all descriptive of God's ruling and so forth. A message of victory for Christians indeed. But then when you get to chapter 7, verse 9, beginning there, the Bible says there was a great multitude that one could not number. And where are they at? They're gathered around this throne that he saw just previously. And they're with the Son, and they're with the Lamb, which is the Son. They're with the Father, and of necessity, they're with the Holy Spirit. These are the redeemed of all ages that John is seeing here. Those that have come out of the persecution, and those that have been faithful, and those redeemed that are gathered there in heaven. Figurative language, to be sure, but a true message nonetheless. I want to go to heaven because I want to see my Savior face to face. I want to go to heaven because I want to see my Heavenly Father. I want to go to heaven so I can see the Holy Spirit and dwell with the Godhead, the Trinity, Father and the Word and the Holy Spirit throughout all eternity. I also want to go to heaven to meet those heroes of the Bible that have encouraged me, that we have read of in the Bible. When we read of the account of Abraham and David, and Josiah, and Esther, and Ruth, and Moses, and Paul, and Peter, fallible men to be sure, yes. Were they flawless? No. Great godly men, Abraham described as a friend of God, David called a man after God's own heart. These great examples of these godly men that we read of in the Bible and that they have left here as children of God and hopefully will be in heaven. We know that Moses and Elijah, remember, they appeared with Christ at the Transfiguration. What would it be like to sit down and talk to the Apostle Peter or the Apostle Paul or to Abraham to see these redeemed of the ages that have gone on before us? What about those preachers that have taught me the Bible by their words, both spoken and both written? There are preachers that have encouraged me and taught me the Word of God that I have never met. I've never had the opportunity to shake their hand, and I hope to see them in heaven someday. And if I do, I want to tell them what an influence they had on me. I want to shake these men's hand, and those preachers that I have got to shake the hand of. Those faithful soldiers of the cross that have went on before me, that I can hopefully see them in heaven someday and know that what they preached was the truth, yes, and that we obeyed it, yes, and that we achieved heaven together, yes. I want to go to heaven to be with those Christians that I've worshiped with through the years, those that have gone on to their reward. I can still remember on Arkansas Creek, that little congregation I grew up in attending. There were certain ones there that was all member of the same family. They could read music. And oftentimes, Brother Benny Blankenship, some of you may remember him, he had a radio program in Prestonsburg, and he would get the members from the Arkansas Creek congregation to come and to sing as an introduction and a conclusion to his radio sermons, because the singing was swell. They could read music. I can still, in my mind's eye, remember these brothers and sisters and hear their voice in the assembly as we sang praises to God. I can still remember those brothers and sisters that are here, that have been here, that have gone on to their reward, their great, godly, faithful example. What about those that are sitting here today? I want to go to heaven because there are many of you that have been a great godly influence on me and a great encouragement to me, and I want us all to go to heaven. I want you to be able to see me in heaven, and I want to be able to see you. That's our goal, isn't it? Zion, when will I dwell in thee? You're asking that, I'm asking that. We're both hoping to dwell in heavenly Zion someday. Why do I want to go to heaven? Because I want to be with all the faithful Christians that are assembled here this morning. I also want to be with those loved ones that have gone on before me. I want to go to heaven and be with my loved ones and pick up the relationships that we had before. Those faithful members of my family that brings a tear to the eye when you think of them, but you know that they died with hope. And there's going to be a great reunion one of these days. Some people ask, well, are we going to know one another in heaven? I believe the clear teaching of the Bible is yes, indeed, we will. You know, Abraham, it is said in Genesis 25:18, says, then Abraham gave up the ghost, died in a good old age, an old man and full of years, and was gathered to his people. Someone says, well, that means he was buried in the family cemetery. No, he left Ur of the Chaldees. He was not anywhere near that place. When it says he was gathered to his people, now, is he going to go to a place that he's not going to know these folks? That they're going to be total strangers? We're going to talk about it in a moment, the great joy that's going to be in heaven. How much joy would we have if we didn't know one another? No, he was gathered to his people. He's going to recognize these individuals. The same is said of Jacob in Genesis 49:33, that he gathered up his feet into the bed, yielded up the ghost, and was gathered into his people. For in 2 Samuel 12, you remember after the death of the child of David, he had fasted, he had prayed, he had mourned, and while the child had died. And after the child died, he arose, he cleaned himself, he took food, he cleaned himself up. And they asked him, they said, now wait a minute, now that the child has died, you'd mourned while the child was sick. I'm paraphrasing. The men asked him, said, you mourned while the child was sick, now that the child has died, you arose, you cleaned up yourself. David said, while the child was yet alive, fasted and wept, for I said, who can tell whether God will be gracious to me that the child may live, but now he is dead. Wherefore should I fast? Can I bring him back again? I shall go to him, but he shall not return to me. He says, I shall go to him. What's that? That's an anticipation of a reunion with this child. Expectation of reunion. You know, we just got through with the holiday season. Many of us had family members that we gathered around in our embrace, and at some point during the holidays, they've went on their way and they've went back home. Some of them may be very far away, as we say down in Eastern Kentucky, a fur piece. But as you parted with them, what was the one thing that you were looking forward to? You were looking forward to this anticipated reunion at some point. At some point, there'll be maybe a family event, another holiday or something, where you can have family members coming together. Friends, there's going to be a great reunion one of these days when we leave this world. There's going to be a reunion with those faithful Christians that have gone on. There's going to be a great reunion with those that have died before us. When I die and I pass over death, that River Jordan into that promised land, metaphorically speaking, of heaven, there's going to be a great reunion. Did you ever think of this? When we sit with the dying, when we sit with someone that is leaving this world, we sit and we either recognize or maybe we even say, they're leaving, they're leaving, they're leaving, they're gone. But if they're a faithful child of God, do you think that somewhere on the other side of death's door, there are those that are saying, they're coming, they're coming, They're coming. They're home. That's the great hope that I have. That's the reason I want to go to heaven. I want my loved ones to say, as people here are saying, he's leaving, he's going, he's gone. There's someone on the other side of death's door, those loved ones that have gone on before me that are saying, he's coming, he's home. That I've come home to heavenly Zion. And the answer to the question, when shall I dwell in thee, shall have been answered. Why do I want to go to heaven? Because of those who will be there, the Godhead, faithful preachers, friends and family, faithful Christians. Why do I want to go to heaven? Obviously, because it's a far, far better place that we go to. Paul said in Philippians 1, verse 23, "For I am in a strait betwixt two, having desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better." The American Standard Version says, "For it is very far better," putting a superlative on it. How much better is it to go on and to be with Christ than to stay here? The American Standard translates it, "It is very far better." Paul was torn between two desires. On one hand, he wanted to help his brethren. On the other hand, he wanted to depart this life and be with Jesus. Why? Because it was far better. And in this place, that is far better. Why is it far better? Because it's a place of refuge, a place of rest, a place of sanctuary. This life is full of trouble. We recognize that. Anybody that just looks around, just lives one day, recognizes that this life is a world that is full of trouble. Job recognized that. Job 14, verse 1, he said, "Man that is born of woman is of a few days and full of trouble. But heaven is a haven free of trouble." You remember what Revelation 21, 4 said? When it says that God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. Heaven's going to be a far better place. Why? There'll be no more tears, no more death, no more sorrow. Heaven is going to be a haven of rest. In Revelation 14, verse 12 beginning, "Here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. And I heard a voice from heaven saying to me, Write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them." Heaven is going to be a far better place. It's going to be a place of rest, a haven of comfort. Brother V.E. Howard, in his book that's come from my library called Portals to Heaven, never met the brother. He went on to his reward sometime before I became a New Testament Christian. But here in his book, if you can't say it any better yourself, quote it. And I quote from his book, Portals to Heaven, where he says, "No sorrow, no death. Today, family circles are being broken and loved ones mourn the departure of those they love. In heaven, there will be no broken homes and saddened hearts. Yes, we constantly wipe away tears and try to comfort one another because of disappointments, sickness, sorrow, and death. But in heaven, there will be an eternal day of joy and happiness where death will never invade its portals. Many have been crying today. Even now, thousands in the world of sorrow are weeping. Many hearts are heavy. Rivers of tears have flown through the centuries, dredging deeply into the sea of human experiences. The burdens of life are heavy, but in heaven there will be no crying, no sorrows, no burdens. Can you imagine such a place, a home where you'll never hear anyone cry, where sorrow is forever unknown? Heaven is that place. Today, many live in a body that is racked with pain, perhaps at times almost unbearable, but in heaven there will be no pain, for there will be no physical bodies with the infirmities experienced by mortal men of this earth. In heaven, the saints shall have a new, perfect, immortal body. There will be no sickness, no sorrow, no disappointments, no pain, no death, no tears to dim the eye, no tears to flood the cheeks." I couldn't say it any better myself. I want to go to heaven because it's a far better place. I don't want to have to say goodbye to my loved ones as death claims them. I don't want to have to see my loved ones suffer with sickness. I don't want to have to suffer with the sickness that I know will come upon me as my age progresses. I'm 50. I'm not that old yet. But I'm looking forward to going to a place where you won't see these cities of the dead with the tombstone heads. We won't see the tears that will flow because of pain and sorrow. We won't cry and weep ourselves because of pain and death. Nah, I want to go to heaven because it's a far, far better place. And then lastly, I want to go to heaven because I've been invited. Jesus said in Matthew 11, 28 beginning, "Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Jesus here makes this great invitation. Oh, he made it to Jews, yes, but who would deny this is a universal invitation? When Jesus says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden." They may have been laboring under the heavy burden of the Mosaic law. True, and he's going to change all that, yes. But they were also laboring under the burden of sin, yes. We can have our sin forgiven. Christ has invited us. The book of Revelation ends this same way. In Revelation 22, 17, the Spirit and the Bride say, "Come." And let him that heareth say, "Come." And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. Revelation 22, 17. We can hear that great welcome when Jesus will say, like in Matthew 25, 34, "Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." All mankind has been invited to the great marriage feast. All things are ready. Come to the feast, we sing. Friends, we've been invited. Anyone that and misses heaven, it is because they have spurned the invitation. It is because they have rejected God's grace. It is because they have rejected Christ's sacrifice. Heaven is the most marvelous place the wisdom of God could conceive and that the power of God could prepare. I want to go to heaven because I do not want the alternative, eternal hell. I want to go to heaven because of who will be there. I want to go to heaven because it is a far better place. I want to go to heaven because I have been invited. You all have been invited, friends. And we could add this. I want to go to heaven because of the price that was paid for my soul's salvation. Christ left heaven and came and died on an old rugged cross for the sin of mankind. Suffered a painful death. Paid the penalty for you and for me. That we cannot have eternal torment in hell when this life is over, but we can have the glories and wonderful place called heaven if we obey the gospel. That is, do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? Jesus said, "If you believe not that I am He, you will die in your sins." Within that same context, just previous to that, He had told His apostles, He said, "I go my way and ye shall die in your sins. Whither I go, you cannot follow." Well, where's Jesus getting ready to go? He's getting ready to die on that old cross, yes, but He's going to be buried in a borrowed tomb, and He's going to arise the third day, and He's going to ascend to the right hand of His Father in heaven. He's going to heaven, and He tells the apostles, He said, "You die in your sins. You cannot go where I have gone." Sin will keep us out of heaven. We must have our sin forgiven. Jesus said, "If you believe not that I am He, you will die in your sins." Jesus said that one must repent, that is, turn away from a life of sin. Change your mind and your concept of sin. Walk in a new path in a way that is pleasing to God. Because Jesus said in Luke 13, 3, "Except you repent, you shall all likewise perish." We must confess the name of Jesus Christ. Jesus said in Matthew 10, verse 32, "If you will confess me before men, I will confess you before my Father which is in heaven." And Jesus, who died on that cross, who cannot lie, has promised, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned." Mark 16, 16. You can do that this very morning. You can be baptized in the waters of baptism, contact the blood of Jesus Christ, come out of the waters of baptism, a new creature in Christ Jesus, washed by the blood of the Lamb. that we talked about in the book of Revelation, the one that gave his precious blood for you and for me, and have the hope of heaven, and then you be thou faithful unto death, and you will receive a crown of life. Conditional upon our faithfulness, but that crown of eternal life, heaven awaits us all. We have it now in prospect. We can have it in actuality when this life is over. Maybe you've obeyed the gospel in time past and you need to come back to your first love. You need to come back to where you have wandered away from, where you've been led astray from. You can come forward and ask for the prayers of your brothers and sisters to be restored this very morning. Again, have the hope of heaven when this life is through. Hell is too long, heaven is too beautiful to miss the beauties of heaven. Whatever your need might be, come forward as together we stand and we sing.
Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come. I come just as I am, and waiting not to rid my soul of one dark blot. Can cleanse each spot, O Lamb of God, I come. I come just as I am. Thou wilt receive, wilt welcome, pardon, cleanse, relief, because